Impossible things are happening every day. And, you know, it seems impossible to me that Cinderella with Brandy and Whitney Houston is 25 years old, but it first aired in 1997. The movie was the first adaptation to feature a black Cinderella, and some argue it is the very best version of the fairy tale.
Fal-de-ral and fiddly-dee, fiddly-faddly-faddle. All the wishes in the world are poppycock and twaddle.
Who are you?
I'm your fairy godmother, honey.
You?
You got a problem with that?
To mark the anniversary, ABC will rebroadcast the original film along with a cast reunion. Cinderella gave black girls their first opportunity to see themselves as the princess in a Disney fairy tale. And Aisha Harris, co-host of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, joins us now to talk about the movie's lasting impact. Hi there.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I love this movie, and we have another huge fan of it on our staff. As a little girl, senior editor Shiko Thayuri rented this movie for weeks on end from Blockbuster. Boy, that is a blast from the past. She told us a little bit about why she loved this movie so much.
To see a black woman in this fairy tale story, and just knowing that, like, you know, you as a black girl could also sort of live your own kind of fairy tale and fantasy, and you could have a really beautiful life and fall in love and be adored by the world. Like, that's the message that I got as, like, a little young girl watching this.
Aisha, do you have memories of watching this when you were younger?
Yeah, I was 8 years old when this came out, and my mom grew up watching the previous version of the Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella that was on TV when she was a kid. That one starred Leslie Ann Warren, and there was one even before that that starred Julie Andrews. So it was kind of like a generational thing for us, and I remember watching it with my mom. And then once it came out on VHS, we also had the VHS copy. And it, you know, what Shiku said, it very much was such a groundbreaking thing to see as a little black girl when Disney had plenty of princesses, but none of them had been black up until that point. So it was a huge deal. And I think it's still a huge deal today that this even exists.
And because Brandy was not just a black Cinderella, she wore braids. Whitney Houston had big curls. I mean, they really leaned into letting Brandy be who she was. Did that make a difference?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it made a huge difference. I mean, the thing is that Brandy has said in interviews, like, that was just the way she wore her hair, and the producers were fine with that. And so the fact that they went all out and even allowed her to do that, I think, it means so much, because so often when you think of even, you know, the black beauty queens and all of those that we've seen, often their hair is straightened. And there's nothing wrong with that. Look, I spent a lot of my time as a kid with my hair straightened, but there's also something to be said to have something that is so tied to black culture and allowing that to flourish in this environment that means so much.
So we have to talk about Whitney Houston, of course. She plays the fairy godmother in the film. You mentioned she's an executive producer. And every time somebody mentions this movie, the first thing I hear in my head is Whitney singing Impossible.
Impossible for a plain yellow pumpkin to become a golden carriage. Impossible for a plain country pumpkin and a prince to join in marriage. And four white mice will never be four white horses. Such fal-de-ral and fiddle-dee-dee, of course, is impossible.
So Whitney Houston had her own take on the fairy godmother. Tell me about her performance.
I mean, she, you know, she took a smaller role. Like, we talk about Whitney, but when you look back and actually rewatch the film, she's not in that many scenes in the film. But her presence is just, it looms over the movie for all the best reasons, because she's got the sass, she's got the confidence. And it's really looking, you see that connection that she and Brandy had. You know, Whitney Houston actually pushed to have Brandy cast in that role and called her and told her that she had the role. And so having that sort of bond and knowing that it existed in real life just as it did on the screen, it's just really magical to watch that and see just how gracious and generous Whitney was in allowing Brandy to shine in this role.
We also have an interracial romance here. The actor who played the prince was Filipino-American, and now he's almost 50, which really makes me feel old. But how big of a deal was this?
Even today, most of the time when we're talking about interracial romances, it's usually a person of color and then a white person involved. So it's very rare even today to see that. And so seeing two non-white people who are not of the same ethnicity and racial background falling in love, it was a big deal. And I think, you know, it's also great to see, you know, Paolo Montalban had a, you know, theater background. And so he brings to that role, first of all, he's very attractive.
Yes.
but he also, they have a lot of chemistry together. Like, they seem like they could actually fall in love in one night, as crazy as the whole premise is. And I really think that seeing that together, it makes a huge difference.
But I got to ask you about the love for this movie, because certainly among all my friends, but, you know, in preparation for this interview, I just looked up Love, Brandy, Cinderella, and the blogs, the articles that people have written about how much they felt this movie changed their lives or had an impact on them. Why is this movie the one that so many people remember and remember in such an emotionally bonded way?
Well, I think it's for all the reasons we've already talked about, you know, for the fact that this was Disney's first Black princess, and we have this, like, amazing cast. We haven't even talked about Whoopi Goldberg, Victor Garber, Bernadette Peters. Jason Alexander, like, it was, that's, like, peak 90s right there. Peak 90s theater, peak 90s TV. I think people really are drawn to movie musicals. They come, they ebb, and they flow. And I think that, you know, when it came out, even though the reviews by critics were pretty brutal and a lot of them didn't like it, according to ABC at the time, when it debuted, 60 million people tuned in. That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people.
And so I think it's just endured. And when you've also got people had the DVDs or the VHSs, and it's the type of thing that you can pass down. Just like my mom passed down the Leslie Ann Warren version of Cinderella to me, I'm sure that there are plenty of millennials who are passing it down to their kids.
I mean, I have to assume it, because it's beloved, that is why ABC is bringing the movie back for the 25th anniversary. But it does make you wonder why they haven't done it again.
Yeah, it's kind of... I think part of the reason is, again, musicals can be very expensive to put together. And the fact that we are still not really talking about race as in ways that we should be. I mean, obviously things have changed and gotten better. But I think there's also colorblind casting has often been such a hot button topic, because people want to strive for authenticity, whatever that means to them. And colorblind casting does not seem like something that could be considered authentic. But like I said, in the world of Cinderella, where there are pumpkins turning into carriages and you know, mice turning into horses, like, anything can go. And I think that that's why it works so well here. And I hope we get to see more like that in the future.
I was kind of hoping that Hamilton would solve all those issues with both musicals and colorblind casting. I guess not yet.
No.
But for those people who have never seen this film, how should they watch it? Like, what's the ideal way to sit down and see this film for the first time?
Just watching with an open mind. You know, it's the special effects have not held up that well. but it was the 90s, you know? But other than that, just enjoy Brandy, enjoy Whitney during her peak Whitney years, and really enjoy. There's also just so many funny moments with Whoopi Goldberg. Just enjoy it. Like, open mind, open heart, and let the music and the performances just wash over you.
And maybe some cozy pajamas and some popcorn.
Yes.
Ayesha Harris is co-host and reporter for NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You could tune in to ABC tonight to watch Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella.
And dreamers never make a dream come true. Impossible.